Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin with Be'ezras Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shiur number 486. We're talking about the healthy aspects of passion and desire in pertaining to the mitzvah of Aina. And Rav Isaac Sher, which we gave separate shiurim on, is Kedushas Yisrael. And you can WhatsApp me if you want recordings of that we did on Sunday series a while back. Eventually, we'll repost it. If you want it in advance, I could send you the hard copy of the Kuntres as well as the shiurim on that. But one piece of it, he says as follows. I'll translate in English based on the translation written in Matoivoy Alecha by Rav Aaron Cohn. And he says that I heard there are some pious men who make preparations to do mitzvahs Aina for Hashem's sake without any desire at all. If he's busy until midnight studying Torah, reciting prayers, then he comes home after midnight, awakens his wife from her sleep. He chatters some words of pious to do the mitzvah, and she allows him to do as he pleases, and then he boasts in his heart that he managed to do the mitzvah without the Yetzirah and without the impurity of desire. Without the impurity of desire, which is, we explained the nonsensical concept of that in the last year. And then afterwards he wonders why he has wicked or stupid children. He's very blunt about that. But this comes to them because they failed and thought that desire within the union is something negative. Yet without desire, children conceived are, you know, there's negative connotations. The act is without her mindfulness, without her will. She has no desire when she's asleep or half asleep. She's even angry often that he causes her anguish, does with her as he pleases, not as she pleases. And he violates the mitzvah. And it's part of, he holds, that's the children of the 10, of the 9 Midas. The Ramban also talks about the importance of desire during the mitzvah. I mean, he wrote a special tefillah to say during that union, which we ask that our desire and passion should not be weakened. And he quotes in here that it's from the Siddur HaShalah. I don't have the Siddur HaShalah, but I have the Nusach. I was trying to find this Nusach for a while, but at least I have it here in a note. So if I remember, I'll make a PDF and put it out when this year is being given. So it's from the Siddur HaShalah, but it's quoted that it's B'Shem the Ramban, attributable to the Ramban. Now, if they don't have that desire, then they have to address it. Medically, intimacy expert, whatever it is. They both need to feel that passion and desire. Feeling should be mutual, not just one-sided. There's a sefer, Shavchus Priya Hasada, from Eliezer Deitch, an Abbezdin, and he said basically that if the husband complains he can't be soivel tashrish with her because she has zero desire for him, or the other way around, he doesn't have that, then it's extremely problematic because they're not in the normal way of acting, and that's it, even to the effect of a balmum. A man once asked the Ben Ish Chai what to do if he fell asleep the night his wife went to the mikveh. His wife went to the mikveh and then woke him up. But he doesn't have a desire for the union. So he asks, should he arouse his desire by engaging in lighthearted talk, which will lead him to have relations willingly and passionately? Or should he just go through the motions, even without desire, just to do his chiyuv? And the Ben Ish Chai wrote very, very clear that it's not good to fulfill the mitzvahs Aina without any will. The will and the desire is the part of what's written in the Gemara, that it's preferable to his desire and arouse one's desire and will so that he does not become, you know, negative about the act. Therefore, he needs to speak with her and laugh with her and arouse the lust and desire in his heart and in hers, because that will bring the intention for the right way that it's meant to be. I think the tshuva is called Torah Lishma, Seminayim Beis, and in Lashon Kodesh, the Lashon is Ein Toiv L'Shamish B'Lei Ratzin. You can't be Mishamish without that will. Adarabat Tzar Shiyah L'Lei Ratzin V'Taiva Mitzar Atzmai. You need that desire and will and taiva. Nimtza the Yosef Toiv L'Lei Ratzin V'Taiva. So he's saying to the husband, if she woke him up, she went to the mikveh and he's drowsy, he gets himself up, pushes himself to mutalai ledaber besicha, to talk with her, schaikima, to even laugh with her, to be ma'ir the taiva in his heart, mutually. So and that she should have the will. So that is the desirable way to do it, based on what the Ben Ish Chai answered this person. The Noam Elimelech says that you have certain, we're not in this madrega, so I'm not even comfortable even discussing this, but we'll mention it in passing. It's in a letter in some of the end of the Sefer, there's in certain Sefer, there's Igros Kodesh that talks about it, but he basically says, the Noam Elimelech, that there's some people that are on such high levels that they're so separate from material desires, and they have no yearning for physical things, even to eat and drink. It takes an effort to do that, and they don't have a desire for mitzvahs either. And what Hashem does, though, is he gives a person, even a tzaddik, the Rachmanis, he gives in them a taiva at that time to be mekayim the mitzvah properly. And then it's removed from him again. You know, we're talking about real high people that are beyond our comprehension. Okay, so we're not even in this realm. But the idea is that even tzaddikim gemurim, they need that special siyata d'shmaya to be ma'ayr that taiva during this time, because it is important and is key in the relationship. Even for tzaddik and gemurim who want to withhold completely from taiva seilam hazeh, they need this taiva in order to have children, in order to even mekayim mitzvos ayna, and that's what they need to do. So that's the side. And then the Yavitz, in the Yaakov Emden Siddur, this is an unbelievable line. When you awaken in each other a love through the fire of desire, mitzat smoil, even though it's on the left side, it is holy. The Eish Kodesh Hu. That is a holy fire. Why? By this, you're sanctifying the Yetzer that is on the left side, or the negative side, or the weekday side. And then, and you bring Chulin and turn it into Kodesh. You're taking mundane and you're making it holy. The Gemara brings Esa Seifer made at the Kana, to eat garlic, Erev Shabbos. Obviously, you have to basically have a good teeth brushing and mouth washing after you eat that garlic, obviously. But the garlic itself helps with the mitzvahs. Ayin, the Yerushalmi says it, that you should eat garlic Friday night because it brings a hava, joy to the heart, draws out this desire. The carbon aid of the it says the Megillah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. It's machnas a hava, and it would cause this zivig. Chassam Sefer has an interesting pshat, that Zacharnas Adoga, that part of what they complained in Arayas is that because the Arla, it says that if you have Mila, it weakens the desire, the sexual desire somewhat. It's based on the Mer Nevuchim, Chela Gimel Perak Mem Tes. So therefore, because of that, you eat garlic and other things that Marba Tainik Oinuk Shabbos to bring that desire. Now in Mitzrayim, they didn't have a Bris Mila yet, so they had more Taiva. And now that they had the Bris Mila, and you know, Dan Pesach, Dan Mila, that happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim, the taiva was somewhat less, and they're yearning back for that desire. There's different pshatim with that. The bottom line is you ask Hashem to bring in that desire in the right way with your wife. Hashem is mamala that bakasha. Now, the actual eating of garlic itself is manazah is debatable. Erech Chaim says that you should eat it. Erech HaShulchan says we're not noyig this way, because, and he brings on Sefer Hasidim, says that there's other places that say that garlic decreases the desire, and sometimes it's only roasted garlic that increases the desire, and we're not sure what that means and how to do it. So whatever the case is, whatever the idea of the minig of shum, but you see, though, how important the Fezah Sefer found it meaningful to introduce a takana, to increase the desire for one another. So you see how essential physical desire in a marriage is. Otherwise, why would he make such a takana? So the desire as such is not a contradiction to holiness. The opposite holds true. The love and desire will achieve the pure holiness. That is the kavana. That is the kavana, and that is the tachlis of it. So the key is to focus on the goal. The goal is balance. A yid's life has to be in balance. That is the real shevish of everything. Balance is a key. So here you run into an interesting question. Increasing desire physically towards one's wife towards husband is a positive thing. But are there boundaries? Of course there's boundaries. You can't increase desire just for the sake of increasing desire. That's not the goal. Pleasure is not an end in and of itself. It's a means to unite the couple, to bring them closer to each other, to increase the feelings for each other, to attain deep unity with one another. And in that case, the desire within Aina is Kadosh V'Tahar, yes. That is the desire Hashem wants. That's part of what the Davak Be'ishtay means. A good example to explain this is the idea of Einik Shabbos. What's Einik Shabbos? It's a mitzvah to rejoice and take pleasure in Shabbos. More food, more drink, more sleep, and mitzvah Zayna. Now, so we allow ourselves the pleasures of Shabbos to be more than a regular weekday. Yes, we do. But do we drink in excess to the extent of becoming drunk and overeat and destroy the holiness of Shabbos? Of course not. That's not what is meant by taking pleasure in Einik Shabbos. Even though it says basar v'dag v'chol matamim, it doesn't mean tons of basar, tons of basar of matamim. You uplift your mood and rejoice with the feeling of closeness to Hashem when you have these physical pleasures that serve to aid our simcha, to accentuate it. Not that that becomes the tachlis and the in and of itself of it. It's similar to a king that exiled his son got captured, whatever the case may be. Now he's finally redeeming him, but the son got involved in materialistic stuff, and the king is trying to get him back into the palace, and he's trying to convince him, entice him, and he can't. And finally he uses food and drink and oinik to bring him back, and then he comes back to the king. And once he's there, he experiences the spirituality of being together with the king, his father. Same thing as oinik Shabbos. The body is materialistic, food, drink, and there's a joy of a soul, connective soul, but we resist it. So what we do is we use food and drink to bring us to the soul so that we should experience the spiritual aspects of it. That is what it is. That's why the Arizal says on Shabbos, even if you eat for your Hanah, there's Kedusha, because it's the goal is to get you to the king. But in and of itself, if you just focus on that alone, of course it's not healthy. Same thing goes with Limud HaTorah. You learn Torah, and the pleasure in the Torah is part of the Einig HaTorah. But if you learn just for intellectual stimulation, you won't be connected to Torah. But if you have intellectual stimulation and that desire to learn Torah with the pleasure of the learning combined, makes a strong bond for the Torah. That is the idea behind it. That is the idea of focusing on the goal of it, which we're going to talk more about it as a Shem in the upcoming Shir. About when is desire, how do you balance it? How do you make sure it doesn't go overboard? We talked about the tendency for Erlich Yidin to underdo that concept in the past few Shiurim, but there's a risk of overdoing it, right? If you go too far in that concept, you'll end up losing yourself and losing everything. So you have to know the healthy balance and how to deal with that healthy balance and know what it is we'll Me'etz Hashem address in the next Shiur together with a summary of the topics we've discussed thus far in the past few shiurim. Bracha v'atzlacha.